Welcome back to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. This is Talks About Tech Weekly, episode 107 today, recorded on Friday, July 4th, 2014. Today I'm joined by Mr. Kevin McAndrew, as always, sitting over across the table from me. Yes. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Fine.
Okay.
Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Of course, yes. That is what fine stands for, in the eyes of us at least. Happy 4th of July, whatever that means to you.
Well, we're from Ireland.
So, yeah. So it doesn't mean anything. But for our American friends, you know. We're not going to, like, dedicate the show to anything, but, you know, happy 4th of July. Yeah, we're going to have an interesting show. We're recording this on a Friday, which is different for us. Because normally we record this show every Saturday, but we're going to the big capital of Ireland.
The very
gigantic capital
very
of Ireland.
Very big. The
Dublin,
size of the
Dublin
smallest
tomorrow.
City in America.
Probably, yeah. So that's where we're going tomorrow. And so we decided to, you know, record this show a day early. Yeah, so we have some interesting stuff. We're not going to kind of... A lot of the news that we have is kind of about stuff that's happening locally in Ireland.
Yeah, today.
We're gonna be, yeah. So it's going to be quite an interesting episode.
And we'll also be talking about a couple of projects that we're doing ourselves.
Yes, definitely. So let's get right into it. Let's start by talking about Magnet.
So we talked about the internet. It was the last show, wasn't it?
We didn't actually talk. Well, I cut out of the show.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I think this episode is going to be mostly dedicated to talking about the internet, the whole internet infrastructure here in Ireland, and the way that it's working out at the moment, and also the way that it will be hopefully getting to the point it'll be hopefully getting to. So it started at the beginning of the week with Magnet. They put out an announcement saying that they would be bringing out 1 gigabit per second broadband through fiber. The way this is going to work is that Magnet will be putting 1 gigabit per second fiber broadband into 120 apartments on the Stillorgan Road in Blackrock, Dublin.
And by the way,
I don't live in the Stillorgan Road area or anywhere near it, so...
But that is faster than what Aircom are going to be doing in the majority of the country.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the way that it's going to work. Basically, Aircom at the moment are rolling out e-fiber, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it fiber. But really, what it is it's fiber to the last mile.
Yeah.
So what this means is that it's fiber to the cabinet, which basically means that what fiber with Aircom will be doing is they'll be sending a fiber line to a cabinet about a mile away from your house, and then from there it's going over your standard copper line.
Yeah,
which basically means you'll probably be able to get about 150 megs max.
But that's limited.
100 megs is probably what
and
you'll be getting.
Also, because it's running a mile on copper, it's going to be even less than that again because. With fiber, because it's just light, it doesn't really degrade that
much. I think it'll be about 100 megs is what they're beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Is what they're saying 70 megs is your max right now, okay?
Yeah.
So...
It might be even less than
so
that.
So you can't do 1 gigabit per second on copper. There's no way you can do
it.
You have to get fiber. So what Magnet are doing now is they're putting this... 1 gigabit per second fiber line directly into each apartment.
Which is the way that it should be done.
Yes. They will also be fitting each apartment with a 1 gigabit per second LAN network. So that
really?
All the devices on the network can actually take full advantage of this.
Very nice.
You know, they haven't announced cost. I don't think they will be charging these people.
Yes.
In these apartments. Because there's a test, right?
Yeah.
But so,
they are thinking of rolling it out in different places, though.
Well, yes. By the way, it is synchronous, which means that the download is 1 gigabit per second and the upload is 1 gigabit per second.
That's really
so
fast.
Yeah. So they are looking to do this in other places, okay? Mm-hmm. If they do this in my Cullen, I would absolutely love that, but of course they won't. So they're looking at bringing this out in many, many other places across Ireland in the future. But it's a long way off. This is just the test, right? So, but just to give you an idea, if I had 1 gigabit per second internet here, this would allow me to download a HD movie in 7 seconds, stream 200 HD Netflix movies in simultaneously, which I would totally be doing, download 100 songs in 3 seconds.
That's enough to fill up an old iPod.
Download 200 family photos in 1 second. All of these mean absolutely nothing to me, by the way.
Family photos.
Making that, this is coming from their official website.
Okay.
Yeah, it's stupid. Making a gaming move split seconds faster to win the game. This is coming from their website. What this really means to me is that you could upload a HD episode of Talks About Tech Weekly in 4 seconds.
And how long does it take now?
4 hours.
Yes. That's why we don't do
video anymore.
We just do audio because.
And I will be talking about experience today that I had. Did I not tell you?
No.
I did tell you. So the problem here is I wanted to get back into video for Talks About Tech Weekly. I was looking at doing it for the 100th episode. Didn't work out because of so many different things.
Yeah, sorry. You did
so I was trying to get. The current situation is. On a good day here, we have a 10 meg download.
Yeah. Max. And it's better than a lot of the places. Like, it's better than a lot of places around
Ireland. But the problem is, for our needs, we need upload.
Yeah.
So the thing is, in most countries, if you ring up your service provider, your ISP, and you say, "Hi, I need more upload. Can you assign some of my download to my upload? So instead of having 10 megs down and 500k up, I want 5 megs down and 5 megs up. Can you do that for me?" They'll say, "Sure, sir, I'll change it for you now. This will take place. This will, you will probably see this happen in about 24 hours.
Yeah.
And now you've got, it's not like you're getting any faster speeds. You're just reassigning where that is being sent to. The reason why ISPs put it all in the download is because for the average customer, that's where they're going to be using it.
Yeah.
In Ireland, however, they don't usually do that.
No.
So you ring them up and they're like, "What's synchronous broadband?" Like, get me onto the phone with someone who actually knows something.
Yeah. Or it's
which
like,
never happens. So
what's your name? It's like, okay. Right. I'm not sure if I'm able to help you. Let me just put you on to someone else.
Yeah,
and then you're just on the phone for ages.
So what happened to me today was the first thing I decided, you know what, I'm feeling confident that I can try and do something here. To try and just get more upload. That's all I want. I don't care if it takes for my download. I can live with 5 megs download and 5 megs upload, okay? The other option is that I get 2 lines in. One of them has more upload than download.
Yeah,
and then your norm, and the other line would be just a standard download line. So anyway, I ring them up. The first time I get through to some guy who is not Irish, he's obviously in a call center in another country, so he doesn't know anything about Ireland. And he says, "What is your name and what is your phone number?" And I said, my name. I said my phone number. He says, "Sir, I cannot talk to you. I cannot help you with anything." I'm like, "You're really not helping me out here, man." And so I hung up. And then I tried again. But this time I rang the technical number. So this is a number for people who have technical difficulties. And most of the time they say, "Did you try turning it off and turning it back on again?" So anyway, I ring up. And this very, very polite and helpful woman answers the phone. And she asks me what my phone number is. She asks me about the account, some account details, just to verify that it is my account and it is my household. And the next thing is I ask her, "Can I get faster upload speeds?" And she says, "Sure, what speeds are you getting right now?" And I explained the upload speed. She says, "Okay, I'm going to run a speed test and I'm going to see what I can do for you." So I wait about a minute and a half. She gets back on the phone. She says, "Well, sir, I've just done a speed test. You are entitled to 15 megs. We should be able to get 15 megs on your line, no problem. So what I'm going to do is in about 20 minutes, you're probably going to see some flashing lights in your router. Don't worry about that. And within 24 hours, you should start seeing a speed improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't seen the speed improvement yet because it takes 24 hours.
Yes.
But if it doesn't, if we don't see a speed improvement tomorrow or Sunday, I will, you know, ring them up again. But she said, this should help you out. So hopefully we'll be able to get a speed improvement. And if we do get the 15 megs down, but we're not getting any upload, I'll ring them back again and I'll ask them if they can make that. But you have to get through to the right people. This is what I learned. If you ring the technical people, they know they can help you.
Yes.
By the way, I'm with Vodafone Home Broadband as well. It was a very satisfying call today, I must say. The second time around.
Yes.
When I actually rang someone who was, she was Irish. She was obviously, you know, she was Irish, so she knew what she was doing, you know?
Yeah.
And she was, you know, part of the technical team. So I really do appreciate that. But, I mean, Vodafone, seriously, sometimes you get, most of the time, you have to get lucky. You have to get through to someone who actually can help you. Because most of the time, you can't. And it's very, very dissatisfying. I came off the phone after the first call very annoyed. Because I didn't get anything. I didn't even get to ask my question. He refused to talk to me. Yes. So that's fine. All I wanted to do was inquire about my internet. I didn't want to know any personal account details or anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
All I wanted to know was, can you increase my speed? Yes or no? So that was my experience today.
Yeah. So I just did a speed test there.
Yeah, it's very slow.
It looks like there's a little bit of an improvement.
Well, what are we getting?
Well, the ping is 167.
Yeah.
Milliseconds, so that's pretty bad.
We are at peak times. I tested it before the show and it was very slow.
It's 10.7 megs down.
Really?
And 0.6 or 500k up. Or 600k up, sorry.
Yeah, because I checked the 600. Upload. The upload was 600k, but I was getting 5 megs here.
So it looks like it's going up very gradually. So over the course of maybe a day, we should see it actually speeding up.
Hopefully. Yeah. And if it doesn't, well, I'll get back to them.
Yeah.
But it seems to be pretty good.
So that's cool. Internet.
I welcome any improvement.
That's
what I'm going to say. So that was my experience. Actually, very, very good thing. This brings me on to talk about the next thing, which is also about Vodafone. This is the ESP and Vodafone fiber. Now, this is something that is actually, I find extremely interesting. Do you want to talk a bit about this, Kevin?
Yeah, sure. So, at the moment, the only people who are really running fiber are Aircom and UPC.
Yes.
Now, Magnet have come in, but ESPs always wanted to run fiber and things like
sure.
that. Sure. So, Vodafone said, all right, do you know what we'll do? We'll give you a deal for 450 million euro, right, to use... ESPs, yeah, very cheap. But to use ESPs, electrical lines.
Yes, this is a very interesting thing.
To bring in broadband to rural areas across Ireland.
Yep.
So the speeds will be about 200 megs to 1,000 megs per second, right? So that's very fast.
By the way,
and that's faster. Yeah, 1 gig. Roughly.
Yeah, so basically the way that this is working is they're sending fiber into your... They're sending fiber directly into your house, basically. They're using the ESP electricity lines that are already going into your house to deliver 1 gigabit per second speeds.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's the first time it's been done in Europe.
Yeah.
And it's a great idea, I think. Now... I do have a little bit of a problem with the implementation of this. Okay, so it will be brought out to 50 towns and cities in the first wave, we call it that.
Yeah, first
it's like on Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
First wave.
okay.
50 nice towns analogy. And cities across Ireland. It'll be basically in over 500,000 homes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To start off. The first rollout will be early next year. And they plan on finishing this rollout in 2018.
So it'll probably be maybe a little bit after that. We'll have to see, but it might.
Okay. First of all, depending. I don't think. First of all, if you check, you can actually go to the Silicon Republic article. I put it in the show notes, but you can see the 50 towns. There's Arklow and Wicklow, Letterkenny, Athlone, Limerick, Balbriggan, Little Island, Ballina, Longford. There's a load of them down here. Moycullen isn't on that list. Galway City is on that list. But Moycullen isn't on that list. Maybe if it comes to Galway City, they might bring it out as far as Moycullen as well. But the thing is, this is coming. Yeah, see, this is the thing. It's coming 2015. It's finishing in 2018. I don't think I can wait till 2018 for good internet.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Aircom with their stupid e-fiber. Aircom with their e-fiber, it's delayed till August for here.
It might even get delayed a little bit more, but we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that happens. But okay, here's an interesting statistic. Apparently, Ireland has been ranked number two in the world for internet speed increase. In the world, number two in the world for something to do with internet. There's an increase of up to 47% since last year, since 2013.
I think what
this statistic means absolutely nothing to me.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I think what you have to take into account is that in Ireland, there are city areas and there are rural areas. And in rural areas, there are people that are much more widely dispersed. Take like, let's say half of Florida, because Florida, I think, is twice the size of Ireland.
Yeah.
But the population of Florida, or half of Florida, is huge in comparison to Ireland. There's only like 5 million people in the Republic of Ireland, and 8 million including Northern Ireland, I think. And something like that, which is nothing. And the majority of those people are in the main cities like Galway, Belfast, Dublin, Cork, what else? Limerick, places like that. And that's where they're bringing the fiber to. However, for us, the rest of the country who are out in rural areas, we are still stuck with really slow internet.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why this statistic means nothing to me is because, okay, we've had a 47% increase, but 47% increase of zero is still zero.
Yes.
Right? Kind of. It is, isn't it? Technically.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. So, but, right, so it's literally going from 0.1, okay?
Yeah.
To 47% of that, which is still, like, nothing.
It's like...
So, 0. It doesn't matter. 1.5. The increase doesn't matter because, sure, there's going to be a 47% increase because it's so slow to start with. So, it means absolutely nothing. Comreg, who are, like, in charge of all the internet statistics, have said that people in rural areas still have crappy internet. Yeah. That's the thing.
Apparently in Mayo, one of the counties, which doesn't have a city, by the way. The closest thing that has to a city is Castlebar.
And Ballina. They're big towns.
They're just big towns. They're not really... You can't call them a city.
No.
But, like... It supposedly has the fastest internet.
I know. It's because one guy...
One person took a speed test right at an exchange, probably. Plugged straight into it.
Yeah, right into the exchange. And he's getting like huge speeds.
Yeah.
And then everyone else in the entire county of Mayo is suffering. so this statistic means nothing to me. The government's goal, this is put out, it's basically what the government did was in April of this year. They reassessed the National Broadband Plan, which is about time. They set the goal of half the country, 50% of the country, should have access to 70 megs per second broadband.
Mm. And before this, they were saying that anywhere, no matter how rural, should have...
30 megs.
No. Yeah. It wasn't. It was next-gen broadband, which was their buzzword.
Oh, yes. Next-gen.
It was something like 5 megs or something.
Yeah, next-gen broadband. It's just ADSL.
Yes.
So now they're saying 50% of the country, 70 megs broadband.
Which is the much whole faster, country, much better.
30 megs broadband. At the moment, they claim that the max speed on ADSL is 24 megs. I don't think anyone in the country... has DSL speeds of 24 megs.
Yes.
unless you're like right at an exchange, as you say, Kevin. But so basically, this is their goal. They realized that they had to involve commercial companies in this. So they decided that they were going to give a lot of money to Aircom. Didn't work out. The ESB is still a state-owned company. So they decided that they, through the ESB, were going to give Vodafone access to their electrical lines to run internet. Now, let's find out. Let's see how well this is, gets implemented. Next year, we'll find out. We'll see. I think this could be implemented a little bit quicker than we think.
Yeah.
It could be. So again, we'll have to find out.
We'll have to wait and see, because E-fiber has been promised for the last few months, and it's still not here.
Yeah.
So it might be the same kind of a story, but it might surprisingly not be the same story. It might be pretty quick or even on time or anything like that.
Let's talk about the last thing we'll be talking about to do with internet or mobile networks or networks in general. This is about the 3&O2 merger. If you remember, they were saying that as part of the 3&O2 merger, the EU said that you must allow two more virtual networks to be set up on the 3 network.
Yeah.
Which is completely fair enough. It adds competition. It's a good thing.
One of them's 48, isn't it?
No, one of them is actually UPC.
Oh,
48,
right, okay.
I think, is running off Vodafone.
Yeah. Yeah, probably
right?
is. Yeah.
Vodafone's network. So this one, the first one they did was UPC, which means that UPC are going to be launching a mobile network.
Mm-hmm.
No big surprise there. It's going to be piggybacking off 3's network. And the other one is Carphone Warehouse. Yeah. Right? So if you're from Ireland, you know that Carphone Warehouse is basically a place where you can go and you can buy phones. You can get them on any network. You can get them unlocked. You can just buy a phone there. And you can put it. You can get plans there. It's just like a reseller of every single carrier's phones. This is where I get all my phones, pretty much.
And it's very, very popular all over Ireland.
Yeah, very
like
popular.
In every, pretty much in every city, there's at least one, if not more.
Yeah.
And Galway,
there are many in Galway.
In Galway, there are a good few.
Yeah. They do very well as well.
Yes.
My last phone I actually bought online, but but before that, I went into the Carphone Warehouse.
Same.
So this is an interesting move for Carphone Warehouse. So now if you're looking to buy a new phone, they'll say, yes, we have our own very own mobile carrier, mobile network that you can use as well.
Now, hopefully it'll be cheaper for this new, carrier, because if you think about it, with carriers, usually all they're getting is a subscription for the SIM or top-ups or anything like that. However, the Carphone Warehouse, they're going to be selling the phone and their own network. So they can afford to make it a bit cheaper.
Well, not only that, but they don't have to... Carphone Warehouse don't have to pay for all the infrastructure.
Yes.
3 has to maintain infrastructure. They have to invest in new infrastructure. Whereas Carphone Warehouse, all they have to do is rent it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, so the costs are much less. They don't have to maintain anything, which means that they can undersell 3.
Yeah.
And maybe get a better deal.
Now, the thing about this is it's still a virtual kind of network. So it's still on 3's network, and they control it.
Sure.
So technically, 3 can charge them as much as they want or as little as they want. So they can control how much Carphone Warehouse...
Yeah, but they're not ripping them off in this deal.
No. They're not, but I'm just...
Because there are, you know, there are limits. For the spectrum and the whatever. So for renting out the thing, there's EU rules against that. So to prevent these kind of things. But the biggest thing is, at the moment, 3 are the the network for if you need unlimited broadband or unlimited mobile internet, or if you want it. So I'm with 3.
I'm thinking of going over.
Unlimited broadband or unlimited mobile internet. And I've got free 4G on it. Mm. Oh, €20 a month.
And also, I'd just like to point out that there are some Like, and if you see Unlimited from any other company,
mm-hmm.
I'd say definitely look into it, because
yes.
our mum
yes.
recently got
and
Unlimited.
She actually
internet,
looked into this.
And she said, all right, so she rang them up and they said, okay, so I'm just checking to see if I'm getting Unlimited. And then your man's like, yeah, yeah, you're getting, well, it's pretty much Unlimited. It's actually a cap of 15 gigabytes.
Yeah.
But we call it Unlimited because people don't
use it. No one will
that.
Ever use 15 yeah. gigabytes.
How much are you using, Michael?
Well, about 40 gigabytes a month
yeah.
on my mobile, just on mobile networks. So that's 3G and 4G.
So when you look at other carriers and you
yes.
see Unlimited, question it, because there's no law against saying that it's Unlimited, because they have to define what Unlimited is.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So on Meteor, Unlimited is actually 15 gigs, but with 3, Unlimited is Unlimited. So maybe Carphone Warehouse will do the same. They'll provide Unlimited.
Yeah. Hopefully, and because then it'll bring in a bit of competition.
Yeah, I think this would be really cool
yeah.
if they do that. And if they undersell 3, which would be cool. All right, Kevin, let's talk. Actually, before I move on to the next topic, I want to actually talk about this whole Unlimited thing, because I was listening to the Waves of Tech podcast earlier on in the week. They
yeah.
actually gave a shout out for this podcast. I really want to thank them. I didn't tell you that. They actually
no.
gave out a shout out for the podcast. They said, check out Talks About Tech Weekly and Talks About Tech and all the shows. So thanks
oh.
to Steve and Dave over there at Netcast Studio for that. Check out their show, by the way, Waves of Tech. They do loads of shows over at Netcast Studio. Waves of Tech is their technology podcast. I know you'd be interested in that, but they do loads of other shows as well over there. They do tech sports.
Yeah.
They do Busy Ladies. They do all these different podcasts. Just go over and check it out. It's really cool. But yeah, so they were talking about on their show, there's a lot of bandwidth caps coming in on broadband now in the US, and a lot of people are protesting about it. A lot of people are saying, don't bring in the bandwidth caps. But a very good point that Dave made was that, but you have a cap for everything else. So if
yeah.
you run all of your electrical appliances in your house all day long, every day, you're going to have a huge electricity bill. If you, in America at least, if you run the water all day, every day,
yeah,
you're going to get a huge water bill.
And soon in Ireland.
Right. So, like, you pay, with everything else, you pay for what you use. It makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
But what, the problem that, and this is exactly right. So I'm not necessarily against caps, as long as if you go over that cap, they don't charge you a fortune of money, right? That they have a reasonable standard rate. So you pay for what you use, right? But that you don't, like, because on mobile networks now, if you go over your 2 gig cap, let's say, you get charged a fortune per megabyte afterwards.
Yeah.
Per megabyte. You should be at least charged on a per gigabyte basis. It should be a lot less money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say. So what do you think on this, Kevin? Do you think that there should be unlimited broadband still? Which there is in Ireland. Most service providers do just provide unlimited broadband.
However, it is very expensive.
No, it's fairly standard. It's like 30 euro on Aircom Z Fiber. For us, it's 50.
Yeah. A month, like.
Yeah, but that's with phone.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
I think that it would be unbelievable to have unlimited. Now, the thing is that if we did have unlimited, there were some people like us who use the internet a lot. And that would definitely kind of, it would there'd be way more traffic. If it was just unlimited that you could get, no caps or anything like that, just unlimited. Now, what's great about the internet is that there is little to no maintenance with it. And it's not like electricity where you have to make it. The internet is just there. like, obviously there's a little bit of electricity or whatever, but the running costs of the internet is very, very, very low. But the only thing is, like, maybe in Ireland it mightn't be as big of an issue because there aren't as many internet users, like, that really use the internet a lot than other places like America or anything like that. Now, I think it is still good to have caps because it is cheaper if you have a cap.
Yep.
And for people who, you know, they use the internet a little bit, but not that much, and they want to have...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them.
It doesn't make sense for them to get unlimited.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of need caps for just, you know, to make it cheaper for some people. But if you're completely getting rid of unlimited, I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing either.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Think for those who are advanced users.
Yeah.
Who need it.
The thing is, though, that I'm just wondering if all you could get was unlimited, I wonder if the lines would be congested or if they'd be able to support it. Mm. It depends. Now, it would cost, it might cost the provider a bit more, which is the thing. To upgrade the lines or whatever, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that caps aren't so bad.
Yeah.
Well, not as much caps, but metering. So you pay for what you use.
Yeah, metering is...
But it is so nice to have that fixed bill and you can use whatever you want. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
There's so much comfort in that.
There is.
Let's talk about some battle boat action, Kevin.
Sure. So, I have, and you, and,
Well, no, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
We've been in a lot of robotic stuff.
Oh, right, I thought you were talking about, yeah. Yeah, we have been.
Yeah. Sure. So, like, one of those things...
I'll take that credit.
One of those things is the First Lego League.
Yep.
That we do pretty much every year.
Yes.
For the last few years.
Yes.
And basically with that, you have to build an autonomous robot, things like that. And when we've been growing up, you know, we've been around robots and things. So yeah. I have a huge...
We made friends with robots.
Yes. But I have a huge interest in robotics. And
yes, you do.
My latest project that we're working on with a few friends is Bottle Boat. So the World Robotics Sailing Championship is coming to Galway, where we live, this September. So it's going to be held from the 8th to the 13th of September 2014. And it's very cool because, well, there's two different competitions. There's this bottle boat one that we're entering, and then I think it's a 2-foot boat or something like that. But it's a worldwide event. There's people coming from all over the world, and it was previously actually held in places like Austria, Portugal, Canada. So it's been pretty much based anywhere in the world. Yeah.
I'm showing Kevin an image of a guy with a boat completely made out of bottles. He's literally in the boat. That is so cool.
Yeah, they're actually really popular all over the world.
Really?
As well. They do races. Bottle rafts.
Oh, is that what they're called? Cool. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry for distracting you, but bottle boats, I just had to show you that. So cool.
Yeah. So, the whole idea of this is that you have to make an autonomous motorboat or sailboat. You can choose whatever you want.
Yes.
But if you use wind, if you go with a sailboat, which is more difficult, you get more points. So there's a marking scheme to it. And the more points you get, then you can win or whatever.
Right.
So you have to make an autonomous motorboat or sailboat from plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. So that means that there can be no interference from outside that robot.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it can have sensors and stuff, but you cannot be controlling it from a remote control or anything like that.
Yes.
It has to be completely autonomous.
Yes.
Now, you can have a remote control just in case it goes off. You don't really want it to sink or anything like that.
Yeah.
But then you'll be disqualified from the thing if it's during the race.
Yes.
So you can choose. Do you want to be disqualified or what?
Right.
But so you use GPS, and there are different waypoints out in the sea. And it's very interesting because I was looking at the rules and the point mark or the marking scheme and all that.
Yeah.
And you get a certain amount of points for going around the GPS waypoint, but you get more points for going around the physical waypoint in the water. Now, the thing is, the physical waypoint is going to be there, but because it's in the sea, it can be moving around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go around it rough, like about 5 meters away max.
Right.
To get full points. So it is pretty strenuous on the marking system and things. So you can't just rely on GPS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very difficult if you're doing sailing because you have to plot out your course, how you're going to tack through the wind, catch the wind. You have to make sure you're catching the wind. Oh, it's very difficult. But that's what we've been trying to do. So what we've done is we've actually put all the electronics on an old RC car. And we've converted it into a kind of an autonomous thing. So,
by the way, I have to say that you did a really nice job of it.
Yeah,
it looks really nice.
It's looking pretty cool.
It's a tasteful job.
Yeah. But we took the old board out and we put an Arduino in.
Good start.
So, yeah. So then we got six lithium polymer batteries. But there's three kind of cases or whatever. And we hooked them all up and we charged them. And it has a nice switch on it. And there are a load of other things that we have, an accelerometer, we have a compass, we of course have the GPS, we have a pot for the steering in the front, and things like that. So that's going to be our prototype, and that's just going to be to get all the electronics working.
Sure.
So I've recently began getting
a
into...
Land boat. Sounds good.
That should be its nickname, the Lanbo.
The Lanbo.
But I've recently been getting into a bit of programming.
Yes.
Some Arduino. So Arduino programming is basically C, except... It has most of the libraries of C, but it is limited in some places.
Yeah, but it also has custom frameworks for stuff that you can only do on the Arduino.
Yes.
It's optimized for the Arduino platform.
Yeah, but you can get...
It's a really nice operating system. Very simple.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Very simple.
And you can get loads of libraries if there isn't anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do with it. And it's so easy.
Yeah.
You know.
So, well, one of the things we're kind of worried about at the moment is if we'll have enough processing power to make all those calculations.
Yeah.
And if we'll have enough memory on the Arduino to hold the program.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're thinking of doing is having the main controller Arduino.
Yeah.
And then having another Arduino as a slave to it.
Right.
And then that other one would control all the motors and stuff and then just take commands.
That is a good idea.
But we actually have a Galileo because we're using an Arduino Unos. We have a few of them around the house.
We have a lot of them. We've got like 5 of them.
Yeah. But... We actually have an Arduino Galileo as well, and it's an Intel Arduino. So Arduino and Intel kind of team together. It's pretty much an Arduino, but with an Intel processor. Yes. So
jinx.
And has more memory. It's a bit more powerful, but it's much bigger.
Yeah.
So we're thinking maybe we could use that, or we could use a Raspberry Pi, or we could use a BeagleBone. Which is even more powerful.
Right.
So we'll have to see what we do because we might just get away with using one Arduino Uno. But we'll have to see.
The other thing is you have to remember that when the Arduino starts doing a lot more processing power, it's going to take up a lot more battery.
Yes.
I found that.
Yeah.
So you're going to have some whopping big batteries, especially if you're running two devices. That adds weight. You got to keep that into account. So
I think
there's a lot of variables.
I think the course is only something like maybe 100 meters. So it's not too bad.
Not too bad.
It's pretty short, but it is, you can use up to 2 3-liter bottles max.
Okay. So you're not going to have any battery problems.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Now, we're probably going to do two boats. We're going to do the motor boat and the sailboat.
Yeah.
But we'll get the...
That makes sense.
Yeah. But we'll get the motorboat done first.
Yeah.
And then we'll work on the sailboat.
That makes
sense. If the sailboat doesn't work on the day,
yes,
we can always go with the motorboat because it's much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay, so that's all well and good. But what comes out of this? Because you're kind of saying, okay, it's cool. Yeah, it's an autonomous boat. What could we use this for? Like, what could we possibly use this for? So, there are actually a lot of applications for this. For example, you could use it for monitoring environmental, meteorological stuff, or even measuring stuff in the ocean, any of that data. It's very good for security or rescue or border assistance or anything like that. And it's also very good for transport. And it's very good for the environment because you can plan exactly how that boat is going to, or the exact routes. And it's much more accurate and much easier. Yep. You can make smaller boats as well. And autonomous boats are going to really help a lot of that. They'll be more efficient. So it has many applications.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's why they're looking into sailboats.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can use as little energy as possible and just sail, it is so much more eco-friendly.
Yeah.
And a lot of oil spills and things like that could have been resolved.
Well, here's an interesting question. Can you use a wind turbine?
Yes.
And then power a motor?
Well, we were thinking of doing for it, actually. One of our ideas. Now, we're not going to do it because it's
you're still
really
using wind
difficult.
Energy, right?
Yes. That's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
However, we're kind of saying, okay, it's a motorboat if you're using motors. However, what I was thinking is, what if you have two tanks and you have some turbines at the top, right? But they're not, they're wind turbines, but they're not electrical ones. So what it's a mechanical turbine. So what it does is it pumps in air into the bottles or into the tanks, and then then that air is released into two mechanical motors or pneumatic motors in the back that spin these two fans and move it.
Because that could be way more efficient in terms of it's much easier to do because you can just put the turbines on a swivel. So whatever way the direction the wind is going in, your turbine is going to move to it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about this complicated stuff to figure out wind direction and go at a 45 degree angle or whatever kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we're thinking of doing that, but
so
we're not pretty sure.
In terms of points for this, it's interesting. If you power it by a sail only, you get 20 points on the competition.
I'll go through all the ones.
Yeah, I have them up here
real quick. So so if you power it by sail. So there's a total of 100 points, by the way.
Yes.
If you power it by sail, you get 20 points.
Yeah.
If you complete the course, you get 30 points.
Yeah.
If you reach certain marks, there are two marks that you have to reach to get 15 points each. If you cross the start line, you get 10 points.
That's a nice 10 points.
Yeah.
It's the participation award.
I think that you start from the coast, but that's really difficult to do. Because if you think about it, you're going against the waves at the coast.
Yeah.
And when you're going against the waves, it's moving the boat around and you're trying to catch the wind.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that goes, how we're going to get around that. But then you get 5 extra points each if you cross or round the physical mark. To port, so on the left side of the boat. So that's the scoring.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things you have to look out for, and it makes it a little bit more difficult.
It but sure does.
yeah, so that's what I've been working on.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Do you want to hear a little bit maybe what I've been talking or what I've been working with?
Yeah, because very cool.
Well, I've been working with the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I kind of felt like I have a lot of Raspberry Pis. I just want to say that. I have like 4 lying around there somewhere.
It's just like us with me with Arduinos.
Yeah. We've got a lot of Raspberry Pis. And, you know, I was thinking of all these things that you could. There's so many possibilities with the Raspberry Pi. The biggest problem is, which one do you do?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to start a project with the Raspberry Pi. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to finish it. And it's going to be a project that I can use on an everyday basis, okay? So I started. I've done my test, my preliminary test, which is basically not using a Raspberry Pi, but using just 2 standard computers. So the way that it works is I had this idea. I have a really expensive IP camera. It's an Axis IP camera. It streams HD 720p. And it's designed for very high-end security. One of these costs about €700 to buy brand new. It's got a really nice zoom lens on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got great optics. And it's an IP camera. And you can stream it over the local network. And I can bring it into, let's say I was using a video switcher, and I can record it on any computer. There's very little latency. So I was like, okay, why couldn't I do this with a normal webcam? Take a normal webcam and turn it into an IP camera that can be accessible anywhere on the network.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this is easy. You know, just plug it in, put a UDP stream, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it wasn't so easy. I spent the whole flipping day yesterday trying to figure out how to do it. But in the end, I used FFmpeg, my good old friend FFmpeg. FFmpeg is like the most incredible tool for anything to do with video and audio streaming or anything to do with video and audio over the web. It is amazing. It's free. It's open source. It can do video encoding, recording, transcoding, muxing, remuxing, transmuxing, all sorts of mux stuff. It can also do live streaming over UDP, RDP, RDM, RTMP, RTSP, HTTP, whatever you need, it does it. And it's absolutely amazing. It's so flexible. So what I decided to do was take one computer, install FFmpeg on it, plug in one of these webcams that I have, and test it out. So stream over UDP with FFmpeg. And it worked really nicely.
With very little lag as
well. With very little lag. So far I've been able to get about 300 milliseconds, which is okay. It's fine. I would rather have less lag. So I reckon I can get it down to less with more testing.
Yeah.
I have to keep into account that I was using Direct Show, which adds its own lag into it. But so now my next step is actually getting this onto the Raspberry Pi, which is very, very easy to do because FFmpeg is cross-platform. And this is going to be my little test. So what can you use this for? Well, you could use a Raspberry Pi with a webcam as a security camera. You can put it anywhere around your house if you wanted to do that. But you can also use it as a way to get in an extra webcam. So let's say you have like a million USB devices plugged into your computer. You have like external hard drives, webcams, really high bandwidth devices. And you have no more space on your USB to bring in another webcam. Well, you can just bring it in over the network using IP. This is a great option. So I've been able to get it working with UDP. I'm going to keep the project updated and tell you how I actually put this together once I get it on the Raspberry Pi. But that's basically what I've been using. And it's working really, really great. So that's my project. That's what my project has been over the last week or so. And you know what? I think it's a really, really cool... It's time to cut it off.
What?
Kevin's giving me the director cut here. It's like, all right, time to wrap this up here. Well,
I always wanted to do that.
Yeah, same. Now I'm doing it. myself. But okay. What I also want to talk about is this new device that I saw. I was flicking through the stuff today, and I saw this new Raspberry Pi competitor. Because I'm so into Raspberry Pi stuff.
And it's called?
It's called... Gee, I don't even know what it's called. It's called the Hummingboard. Hummingboard. That's what it's called.
Board.
Yeah, so it's basically a Raspberry Pi rival. Now, you might think, okay, well, it probably does exactly the same thing as Raspberry Pi. Well, actually, no. It does more than what a Raspberry Pi can do. First of all, it has a faster processor. It's got an ARM 7 1 gigahertz processor. I love those flipping things. They're really, really good. The Raspberry Pi only has a 700 megahertz processor, so this can add in a little bit more speed and capability. It's got 512 megs of RAM stock, and it also fits into a normal Raspberry Pi third-party case. It's basically, it looks the same as a Raspberry Pi. It has a lot of the same I.O. as a Raspberry Pi, actually the exact same I.O. as a Raspberry Pi. However, you can swap out the processor on it, so you can put it in better, bigger processors if you wish.
Jeez.
And you can also swap out the RAM. Put more RAM in it, which is pretty cool. So
cool.
The price starts at $45 for the stock 512 meg option. And there is also a version available, 1 gigabyte of RAM and a slightly faster processor for $100. So that's another option. There's loads of options. Now you got the BeagleBone, you've got the Arduino, which is just a microcontroller. It's not very powerful. You've got the Raspberry Pi. You've got the Hummingboard. You've got the Galileo. The Nook is another thing that Intel are doing. There's loads of options out there now for hobbyist boards. Another cool thing that I saw that you can do with your Raspberry Pi, by the way, is set it up as a NAS. So a NAS, by the way, is a network area storage? Is network area storage? I don't know exactly what it stands for.
Well, I always wondered what NASCAR was.
No, it's network attached storage, okay? So the idea is that...
Network attached storage car.
Let's say you need storage on your network. You're handling big files and need something that you can store everything on. You can set up a NAS, you can transfer files from a computer onto your NAS. And my dad was telling me that you can buy a NAS for about a 12 terabyte NAS for about $600 now. Plug it into your Raspberry Pi, put free NAS on it, and you got a NAS. So there's loads. A Raspberry Pi could be a great web server.
You got a what?
A Raspberry Pi could be a great web server.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think I said?
I thought you said you have an NAS.
No.
Okay.
Maybe it was a NAS. okay. Moving along. You know, there's so many different options. So I'm gonna finish this project I'm working on now and then try out some other ones. What else can I talk about? well, let me talk about Carb Digital briefly. My new business, Carb Digital, is doing very well at the moment, actually. Lots of business going on.
Biznito.
Yeah. It's going very well. You can check it out at carbdigital.com. What I do is web hosting. Well, I haven't got the web hosting set up yet, but I'm in the process of doing that. But I mostly do web design services. So if you're looking for maintenance for your website, if you don't know how to maintain your website, I can do that for you. I can update your website, your current website, if you want me to do that, or create one for you from scratch, if you wish that as well. My prices are very, very reasonable, and I think you get a lot for your money. I think I'm giving you a fair price. But what I'm also doing now is logo design. If you need a logo for your business, I will do that also. And if you're looking for an advertisement, a video advertisement for your site, myself and Kevin might be able to help you out.
Yeah.
So contact me. Go onto the site. There's loads of ways you can contact me on the site. Gives you all the information. Probably the best way to do it is michael@carbdigital.com. Email is the best way of contacting me initially. And if you're interested in maybe a small advertisement for your business through video, because everyone's talking about video these days, Kev.
Yeah.
YouTube and all this kind of stuff. It's like, it's the bee's knees. It's like the way to go. So if you think that,
jello.
But you don't know how to create your own videos, because you want to make sure that you're getting your yellow jello rice. You don't want runny yellow jello, you know? So,
however, that does sound pretty nice.
Yellow jello.
No, you're running yellow jello.
No, jello is jam, isn't it?
No, jello, jelly, and jelly is jam.
Right, so in America, they call jelly jello, and they call jelly...
No, they call jello jelly.
They call jam jelly, and they call jelly jello.
Yes. And over
right,
here,
I understand.
We call jello jelly and jelly jam.
We just call jam and jelly jelly. It's as simple as that. But anyway, yeah. Back to Carb Digital. we
segue.
Yeah. So that's my promo for Carb Digital. If you're really interested in, now you have to remember with videos, you got to get a professional video out there, because if your video looks like something made in 2001 with a DV camera with like lines going down along the bottom, you know, in 4:3
and customer testimonials in it,
yeah,
saying how good they thought your product is,
yeah, then you know you got a bad video. So, you know, maybe if you're just looking for a little ad video to put up on your YouTube account or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we might be able to help you out, do something a little bit professional. Yeah, nice, short, sweet, cost effective. Contact us.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's finish the show for today, Kevin. Anything else you want to add in before we leave?
Nope.
All right. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me for this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. Where can people find you on the internet? The same place as always, right?
You can find me on talksabouttech.com.
Really?
Yeah. And you can also find me at McAndrewKev on the Twitter.
Which you never use.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, the odd time. You can follow me. TalksAboutTech1 is my Twitter account. Check out the website, talksabouttech.com, as Kevin says. Check out the show notes for this episode, talksabouttech.com/TATweekly/107. Check out my website, carbdigital.com. And if you're interested in anything, any of my services, you can contact me, michael@carbdigital.com. Thank you very much for tuning in for this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. We'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.